Let's go, girls.
Well, what's up, y'all? Welcome, welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by one of my most favorite guests. I'm so glad we're doing this every week, Dr. Lyerly. She's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, a fabulous OBGYN. And before we got on air, we were talking about the chaos of being in public service, of campaigning. I certainly can say during my days in public service, it was every day something was happening that kept me on my toes. There was never a dull moment. And certainly over the course of your career as an OBGYN and now as a candidate for Congress, you have experienced that in spades. You were sharing a story about what happened yesterday at work, Dr. Lyerly.
Yeah, well, hello.
And
thanks for hanging out, because you're right, it is always such a blast to spend this. It feels like a little fun coffee clutch.
It does, and all of you get to participate with us.
Yeah. So anyway, yesterday at work, I was just doing my thing, seeing patients, and my nurse came running in and she said, emergency C-section, you have to go. And so I quickly said goodbye to my patient and I ran to the operating room and I delivered a baby really quickly and saved his life. I got him out in about a minute and his mom did great and everything was great, but it was not what I was expecting to do yesterday. But you know, this is what life is like right now. And then you add on top of that all the chaos of the campaign and how it fits in with the other campaigns. And I'm really super excited that I'm about to be on stage in a few minutes here with Kamala Harris.
Yes.
I mean, come on, my life is incredible. So yeah, I'll take the chaos any day if I know that I'm saving lives and making a difference. That's what matters to me.
Yeah, I've absolutely felt the same way when I worked in public service, that as crazy as it got and the late night phone calls and the early meetings, that it was good to do that work on behalf of the residents and taxpayers that I worked on behalf of. It was such a privilege. I so respect the work that you've spent your entire career doing and now are trying to do on behalf of all of the residents and voters and taxpayers in the 8th Congressional District. I'm so excited for you, Dr. Lyerly, that you get to be on stage with VP Harris. Tell her Maggie Dawn says hi. The interview invitation still stands. What are you expecting this afternoon at this rally?
I am getting so many texts from my friends all over Green Bay saying, I'll be there front and center. I'll be cheering for you. We can't wait. Green Bay is so excited to embrace Vice President Harris. And we have incredible local leaders who are going to be there as well. Shannon Holsey from the Stockbridge Muncie tribe, who is just a visionary woman and an incredible leader. Jim Ritterbush, who is a union stalwart up here. So to be able to stand there with all of these folks, I just couldn't be more honored or more excited. And also, I just want to say, you all might think Northeast Wisconsin is like in the sticks, we're old school, and in many ways we are, but this is the dawn of a new day up here. May I remind you that we have more women running for office as Democrats than men, and we also have a substantial number of folks from the LGBTQ community, so we are the gals, the gays, and a few good men up here running as Democrats, and man, we are having a blast.
I love it. The gals, the gays, and a few good men. That is all it should take to get good things done. I love it. Speaking of Northeastern Wisconsin, I'm pumped and really excited. Kristen Alfheim is going to join me tomorrow on the show. She's running up in Northeastern Wisconsin. Really excited about that. She's going to join me at 2:30. But I wanted to ask you, not just about the excitement level, but, you know, so much has happened in the last 2 days, Dr. Lyerly, from the presidential election on down. What was your reaction to hearing as a woman? I was simply stunned over the last 3 days to watch sort of the kid gloves with which Donald Trump was handled at the Economic Forum of Chicago. He was allowed to continue on and on and on and on in a non-responsive manner. Donald Trump then not just given kid gloves and a friendly interview in this pseudo town hall. The audience was basically a bunch of Republican MAGA plants asking him easy questions, while at the same time, Vice President Harris went into hostile territory and engaged basically in a debate with Bret Baier. And it just seems to me that there continues to be an absolutely absurd and obvious double standard. Have you seen that? Have you experienced that on the trail yourself?
What I'm mostly hearing on the trail is that people feel unheard. And that's what they want to talk about at the doors. They want to talk about how they are struggling to get by. Often people do talk about reproductive health concerns. They don't really talk about the top of the ticket. And here in Northeast Wisconsin, we were in Wittenberg earlier today. You know, there were some people who said, yeah, Trump, they're disgusted by him, but they still plan to vote for him. And until you start to have these conversations about what does this mean and how is he decompensating and what's going on with the media, we're all kind of locked into where we are. I mean, I've never seen this country like this before. I am 54 years old and I've been watching, and I have never seen us so locked into just one single person, the way that people are so dedicated to such a flawed human being, and they can't even really explain it themselves. So one of the things that I'm really enjoying is being out in some of these rural areas and just creating a space for people to have a conversation. Like I was at a sheep farmer's house today, and he was telling me about how Kamala Harris is a Democrat or is a communist. And it was so clear that we weren't going to be able to have that conversation, but he was still willing to talk to me about what I cared about. And he was still willing to put my sign up in his yard. So wow. Like where do you, every conversation is nuanced. Everybody's coming at it from a different angle with a different set of experiences. But you know, when it comes to Trump, it's just, you almost can't even bust through that because those opinions are so locked in.
Yeah, I think the stakes for people for changing their mind or being open to contrary information or a different viewpoint are just so high psychologically that I think it's put all sorts of obstacles in the way. And my concern has often been what you just expressed, Dr. Lyerly, that our entrenchment into our teams or into our camps is preventing the identification of what really matters to people every day for their families. And then the places where we have agreement and can actually reach a collaborative, cross-partisan or bipartisan policy solution to make everyday Wisconsinites and everyday 8th congressional district voters' lives better. And I'm so glad to hear that you're able to make those inroads. What's making you most excited about these last, what do we got, 19, 18 days left? Do you remain excited, or is the gas tank starting to inch towards E?
Oh, I'm super excited. I just came off 10 straight days of 24-hour call at the hospital while I was doing campaign stuff. Now I just have to focus on campaign stuff. So my gas tank is full. We are going to be all over the district. Like I said, I was in Wittenberg today. Guess what? There are still independent voters out there. I had a great conversation with Nikki today, who was telling me how hard it was for her to get by. We actually interrupted her when we knocked on her door because she was trying to figure out which bills she was going to pay and which bills she wasn't going to be able to pay this month. And you know, people are struggling and there is room, but you've got to take the time to hear them and to respect them and to give them that space to talk. I think when we're afraid to have those conversations, when we're afraid of the conflict, because you know, conflict is real and you don't ever agree with everybody about everything. You don't agree with the person you love the most in the world about everything. So you've got to find that place where you can compromise. Life is all about where you can find that common ground. And I'm seeing it so much in these rural communities. We're focusing a lot on getting out to smaller towns, Little Suamico. We're going to be up in Sister Bay. We're going to be in Harrison. People have not heard from elected officials. When we knocked on Nikki's door, she said, I've never talked to anybody who is in public office or is ever running for public office, because people don't go out there. Candidates haven't had to. You know, up here in Northeast Wisconsin, a third of the seats went unchallenged in the last cycle. So the people who hold those seats never had to respond to their constituents. It's a whole different ball game this time around. We're fighting for it. We're listening to what people have to say, and people have a lot to say.
Yeah. First of all, when you're up in Sister Bay, please stop by Husby's for me and have a beer on my
Chad
behalf.
Chad is the best. Yes, for Husby's.
I'm a huge fan. I have passed many, many a unwise minute in Husby's as a college student. But I think, you know, that very kernel of how to find, again, the common ground and breakthrough, because genuinely, I have always thought that if you can get people to not talk about the top of the ticket or to not let the debates get sucked up by those narratives, which just so completely permeate all of our discussions, people, we agree that like there should be less money in politics. We agree that there should be a cap on CEO pay. We agree that there should be a living wage. If people are willing to work 40 or 50 hours of hard work every week, they should be able to live respectably and with some freaking dignity, right? That those are commonly held values, especially in a place like Wisconsin, where hard work is part of the ephemera. It's in our genes or something. It's in the water along with fluoride, right? This is who we are. As you have these discussions with people and you talk to somebody like Nikki, what are some of the solutions that you're proposing to these very basic, every person, every Wisconsinite needs?
You know, everybody wants to talk to me about healthcare, whether it's reproductive healthcare or just healthcare in general. I work in a rural hospital. I talk to people who are struggling to even get to the doctor's office. You wouldn't believe the number of rides we have to arrange to get people in so they can get the care that they need. So people are really having a hard time accessing and affording healthcare here in the richest country on earth, where we have the most expensive healthcare system. We also, bankruptcy is most likely to come from a healthcare outcome.
Yes,
if you get sick, you are likely to not be able to pay for your bills and to go bankrupt. So, I mean, there are so many ways that we can improve healthcare. But, you know, it's the cost of things. Nikki was reminding me that just a few years ago, eggs cost less than a dollar. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Now milk is like $5 a gallon. She's struggling to pay her rent. She's paying over $600 for a studio apartment in Wittenberg. I mean, come on. How do you get by? And she's working her ass off. Yeah. So if people are just struggling, and we see the gap between the rich and the poor. She said to me, Kristen, if we could just go back to the 80s, I just think that would be so much better. And, you know, I'm always up for a good perm because that served me well in the 80s. But things have been getting worse since the 80s, and the divide has grown so stark between the haves and the have-nots. We've got to recreate the middle class. We've got to make housing affordable. We've got to make healthcare affordable. There are ways to do this, but we've got to find the political courage to do it.
Yes.
And we've got to elect the right people to make it happen. What's been happening in Congress these last couple of years has not worked. It hasn't worked. And it hasn't worked in Wisconsin either. Our legislature is a do-nothing legislature. Let's get some leaders in the right spot so they can do the right things on behalf of the people.
Well, and listen, I tell people all the time, a gerrymandered map is a map that creates the do-nothing legislature, the do-nothing Congress. That when you have fairly drawn maps, you by definition will create both elections and candidates and therefore elected officials that have to be responsive to your needs. If it is not a competitive district, why do they need to try? It is gerrymandering brings about extremism on both sides of the aisle. We've got to go, but very, very briefly, Kristen, can we get a little nugget of what you might be saying this afternoon with the vice president?
Oh, well, lots of good stuff. Talking about all the great things that she brings. There might be a little cheer at the end. I'm known for cheers and happiness. I know. Keep your eye out for that. But, you know, most of all, we are really trying to get people engaged, enthusiastic. There is a place at the table for every single one of us. This is the most consequential election of our lifetime. I know we say that every election, but this time, guys, it really is. So please get involved, sign up, do your part. That's what it's all about.
Thank you so much. That is Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate for the 8th Congressional District, sharing the stage with Vice President Harris this afternoon in northeastern Wisconsin. Keep it locked. We've got Roderica Applewhite, White House spokesperson, talking about the Public Student Loan Forgiveness Program up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.